Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Would you like a quick roll call of who's on the call today?
Thank you.
Good evening. Good morning to everyone. Today we have Jeff Newman, Barry Cobb, Mike Rodenbach, Michael Connor. From staff we have Marika Konings, Margie Milam, and Gisela Gruber-White, myself. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay, hopefully James will join us here pretty soon. And like I was saying, my apologies, but I'm kind of mobile right now, so I'm not in front of my computer or anything like that. But basically, this is just a continuation of our discussion about 2 weeks ago relative to uniformity of contracts and the major to-do on the list was to further look at diving into some of the research that we have got started. Last night, or night before last, I sent out a spreadsheet that I hope everybody on the call got to review. And really, that's all the only item I have on the agenda to discuss today is to make sure what we've got started here is the right path for us to go down to further understand dispersion and variance amongst contracts that are available to us out in the public. We also, before we get started or deep dive into that, we also have Jeff Newman that just joined the group as well. And Jeff, just to bring you up to quick speed if you, in case you don't already know, this sub-team was formed specifically around determining if uniformity of contracts out there as it relates to abuse would enhance, mitigate, and or remove abuses out there that we're experiencing in the marketplace. First and foremost, we wanted to ensure or kind of get a better understanding of what that variance and dispersion is in the contracts. There was some research provided in the issues report performed by ICANN staff, and from our last call, we kind of made the agreement that a little bit further research needed to be done. beyond the research, I think we kind of already know the answers for the most part, that there is wide variance as it relates to abuse provisions and language and contracts and agreements. Knowing that answer, it really becomes a question as, well, what do we do about it? At the very least, some of the deliverables or outcomes of this subteam is to create documentation that will provide recommendations that rolls up into the overall registration abuse policy work group that will tie into their overall findings and recommendations and the like. Once we better have an answer about the and try to quantify some of the dispersion and variance we see out there, then the actions for this team are to come up with what those recommendations would be to make changes, if any need to be made, etc. And that's either coming up with the recommendations ourselves, or if we need to, do we go out into the registry communities to obtain more information, etc. And then from there, again, just package up into final deliverable and take to the overall working group. Before we get into talking about the spreadsheet that I sent out, does anybody have any comments, or did I miss anything in kind of that summarization?
Sorry to interrupt. James Bladel has joined the call.
Hi, James. Thank you for joining.
Good afternoon.
Barry, I think that was it. Mike, I think that was a good summary where we're at with this. I'm just curious to hear a little bit more as to how you went through this exactly what we're looking at here. That's all.
Okay, good deal. Like I said, I am mobile, so I'm just kind of working off some printouts that I made. And like I said, that this is really the only thing that I had on as far as an agenda item. So we'll go ahead and move on into the spreadsheet. Okay. What we have here is there's basically two tabs within the spreadsheet that I sent you. One is the summary tab, and the second one, which I believe is titled Contract Matrix or something along those lines, is more of the details. So I'll go ahead and start off with just the summary tab, because that kind of will make things a little bit more legible and easier to understand. Basically, on the summary, there are several columns over on the left, and the first column is basically a scope flag. That was just to help me kind of start to assign some of the categories that I was seeing here, most of which revolve around registration abuse. You'll also notice a couple in there that involve another working group for post-expiration domain recovery, and then some other. So what I tried to accomplish here with this spreadsheet is from our previous assignment is basically let's review the top 10 publicly available documents out there and get an understanding of what abuse language and or terms are listed in these agreements and or contracts. And I started off with GoDaddy, then I basically just went down the top 10 list. After the second and third one, about when I got into the Two Cows review, what started to emerge was specific sections that were existing within each contract. And so looking at the summary sheet, there's a first blue row, which I think is around row D or C, C or D, Charlie or Delta. And this top section is all registrant agreements that I've found so far. And within that registrant agreement, you will see these emerging categories, things like fees, breach, indemnification, agency, law and jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera. Those sections that touched on abuse or any kind of language of abuse, anything that remotely discussed takedown or actions that a registrar would take if there was some sort of abuse going on or some sort of assignment from a registry or ICANN, et cetera. I tried to loop those, assign those in the top five categories. And so far what I found across the five is practically every contract had UDRP language in it. Practically every contract had some sort of language about suspension of service or restriction of service, or the last one there, takedown revocation. And so what you'll see is those are the broad categories over on the left-hand side. And then as I reviewed each individual contract, if in fact they did have a section for UDRP language, I would give them an assignment of one, and that's basically tagging it that, yes, they do have it. And then over to the right on the matrix category, I actually copied the language from that contract and put it into that cell. The intent with doing that is that when we really start diving down into the language, is that I can compare UDRP language from GoDaddy right next to Enom and just read those sections, if in fact we feel that we need to do that. So for the most part, that's where I sit today, is I got as far as Melbourne IT. I didn't get to finish them, and none of the registrars listed here are 100% finished. So as an example, if I came across a survival category when I was working on network solutions, I have yet to go back to see if there was that survival section within GoDaddy, Enom, or Tucows. So everybody on the phone, I just want you to understand that this is far from complete, and I just wanted to get a sanity check that this was indeed the right road we were going down before I invested more time in going across the other registrars. The only other thing that I'll add to this is when you look back on the summary sheet, there's a blue line for other agreements, and then a third blue line that talks about the RAP abuse types, all of which we know hasn't been formalized or flushed out. But what I tried to do down there is, outside of registrant agreements, there were either universal agreements or acceptable use policies, other documentation available out on the registrar's website that talk about other elements as well. So as an example, for GoDaddy, they've got a universal terms contract, and they've got some very good language in there about conduct and use and those kinds of things. So I thought that was relevant, or potentially relevant, to the registration abuse category. And then in the third section for the registration abuse types, that is basically just a cut and paste of our working list of definitions that the overall working group is doing. And what I tried to do was search through those contracts or that documentation, and as an example, did they list anything in there about cyber squatting? So for GoDaddy, there was a mention of cyber squatting, and to the right of that, I would put what document that I found it in, etc. So hopefully I did an okay job of trying to give you an idea of what I tried to present here. Questions?
Hey, Barry, this is James.
Okay, James.
Just a couple of thoughts. I was looking at this over yesterday evening, and I appreciate the effort that went into this, and then the fact that you're qualifying it by saying, you know, it's not completely finished out yet, so don't want to poke holes in it necessarily. But the first step is that, you know, I think that with a fair degree of confidence that what you see in the GoDaddy column will also translate or track probably cell by cell what you see in the Wild West Domains column. There are separate agreements in there for resellers, but that, you know, we consider them a different entity than the actual registrant, and they're required to pass that registration agreement on. But, you know, for example, you mentioned that we have a universal terms of service agreement, and then the registration, domain name registration agreement, and I think that some of the fields that you've indicated that we're missing in the registration agreement are present in the universal terms of service agreement. And I think that, so I'm saying, you know, we should get our points for that or whatever. But to the bigger question is that, and perhaps, you know, Jeff and Mike and some of the other legal minds on the group can chime in here on this subject, is that it's starting to look now like a comparative legal review. And there's, when you start to layer the different agreements across the different jurisdictions, I wonder, you know, when we have, for example, an incident come up, there's multiple ways that we can, multiple tools at our disposal. Often we have more than one way we can skin a particular cat. So I'm just trying to see if we can fill this out, flesh this out, and finish it, and fill in all the missing pieces. Does that still get us to the value that we want by having this picture? I don't know. Maybe Jeff and Mike can chime in, but I just think as we start to go down the road of what is looking like a legal review or legal comparison, then I think that the value starts to diminish a little bit. So that's just my initial reaction.
So this is Jeff. First, I want to... I'm very impressed with the work that Barry has done, and it must have taken a really long time. So thank you for doing that. I think maybe, James, it would be better if it's possible some of the line items could be cut out, which may address kind of the differences in legal systems across the globe. So, there's a couple things in the first 31 rows that I'm not sure necessarily would relate to abuse, but relate to just general contracts. And maybe it would make all of our lives easier, because I assume Barry is going to want help in filling these things out for the other registrars. So things like, frankly, a lot of things from 11 through 31 may not be, I'm just looking through the list now, may not necessarily be relevant to the registration abuse.
Correct. If I can just, this is Barry. That's what I use the tagging for on the left. So if it's RAP next to it, then it's within, I felt that it was within scope of our purview for review. If it has PEDNR or other, that was really just for my own edification that I'm starting to see the similarities. When we roll this up for public consumption, anything that is non-abuse-oriented will be removed out of here.
Okay. And I think one thing that may help is, and Barry, you did say that it wasn't complete, so I think some of the things, James, that are not checked off under GoDaddy, I think you might cover anyway, and I just think we just haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a long ways away from getting through all of those different agreements to give the yes-no flag to.
And it may help, and I don't know how we're picking registrars. I missed that part. Obviously, I see the top five here, I think, so you might have just done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe that's top 10. I don't know.
It's the top 10 as according to webhosting.info in terms of the number of registrations.
Okay.
On the book.
So one of the things we could do after we compile this list is then email legal counsel for each of these companies, and if they think something is covered by a provision that we didn't see, or, you know, for example, in GoDaddy's agreement, in your registration agreement, you have a Section 7, which is restriction of services, right of refusal, and it covers a bunch of things, and I would bet Christine would feel that some of these categories of abuses fit within that general language. Like, she would interpret that general language as covering those things. I obviously haven't talked to Christine about this, but in previous conversations I've had with Christine, I know that she thinks a lot of these general provisions do give GoDaddy the authority to take some of these actions. So even if we don't check it off, I think a good thing to do for a sanity check is to email the general counsels of these companies and just say, hey, you know, did we miss anything, or do you interpret any of the provisions of your agreement covering these things that maybe we just didn't see?
Yes, I would agree with that. Even more to the question to be addressed is, anything that goes beyond, you know, our circle of eyes, does it even have a registrar's name on it? You know, do, in terms of public consumption, do we just say registrar A, registrar B, you know, and these are what we're seeing out there, you know, because to James's point, we want to try to reduce the comparisons where possible, just in terms of making everybody happy.
This is Mikey.
Go for it, Mike.
I'm loving this document. I agree that we should, my understanding was that when we went outside this group that we would strip off the specific registrar names so that we wouldn't get into the comparative thing. And what I'm really curious about is the actual uniformity. And if it turns out that there is a fair amount of uniformity, that I think leads us in one direction. If it turns out there's a fair amount of dispersion, that leads us in another. So I guess my main observation, at least at this stage, is yes, more of this, please, don't kill yourself, but this looks like, you know, a terrific analysis and a great resource for the group. So I mostly wanted to chime in on that.
Okay, yeah, and to add to that, I think that if I could pretend that I could call this 100% done with the top 10 registrant agreements and or other agreements to help fill to complete the package, I've got a feeling that what we'll see, at least for the categories that I have identified under the registrant agreement, that my gut feel is that just about practically every one of these registrars would have that section or that category somewhere in there. So I guess my point is that if we could look at this summary and say that it was 100% done, there would be very few yellow spaces there. So my point is that we are seeing uniformity in contracts overall. It's just the question is, as it relates to specific types of abuse, are we really seeing that much of a variance or difference? And to what was being said earlier is, you know, does the general language of some of these provisions cover the specifics of abuse types? And if that is the case, then maybe there really isn't that much of a dispersion or variance out there.
This is Mikey again. I think one of the reasons that we decided to do a fast track through the top 10 was to get very quickly to that understanding. And if we found pretty much uniformity amongst the top 10, that would lead us in one direction. One direction might be to go into some of the smaller registrars and just see if that uniformity extends all the way out.
Absolutely. Definitely what's on my first part of the to-do list is to complete this top 10. Then the second tier is I'd like to try to find some middle-of-the-road registrars, and then, you know, do 10 of those, and then at the bottom, then we'll do, like, the top 10 or the bottom 10. And then that way, that kind of gives us a slice across top, middle, bottom. And my gut is telling me that as we get closer to the bottoms, that we'll start seeing a lot more yellows out there.
Yeah. Now, I guess the project manager in me says, you know, the number 10, I think we sort of picked out of a hat. And given how much, I mean, now that I've seen the work that you've done, this is a boatload of work. I just from my own personal perspective, I would be comfortable if you came back to us, Barry, and said, you know, I think I'd like to reduce the number of data points to 5 and go across the spectrum. Because I can imagine that doing 30 of these analyses could be pretty overwhelming. And if it would be overwhelming and to a certain extent, I would think for you, frustrating if what you found was that they were all the same after you did all that work. So I guess another observation and permission that I'd be willing to give is that if you wanted to stop at the top five and jump into the middle five and the smallest five to get to that dispersion across size sense, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I agree, and I'll take that as an action item for our next meeting, because that'll certainly, I'm probably about 60 to 70% complete with the top five. So I'll do that. I think that would be very good.
Cool. Well, great job. That's it for me.
Yep. It's Mike. I totally agree with you, Mikey. Let's see what Barry just does, what the results look like after doing five big, medium, and little, and then if we feel like there's more, we might ask for it. But it's obviously is a lot of work that he's done already. So, Barry, if you just do the five in each group, when do you think you'd be done with that?
If I'm not 100% complete, I'll definitely have the next revision, so to speak, by our next call. So at the very least, 2 weeks from yesterday, I'll definitely have all the large. I should have most of the middle, and if I start running out of time, then I'll do at least one or two of the bottoms so that we get some good comparison for the next call. And it's going faster now that I know, because for me this has been a learning exercise. I've never really dove into these kinds of contracts before, but now I know what to look for, and I'm getting pretty comfortable with how they're managed or built. So the middle and the bottom should start to go quicker for sure. Any other questions or comments as it relates to what we're building here? Oh, actually, I do have a question for Marika. So in terms of the issues report, and I'm hoping that I'm not recreating the wheel or duplicating work that was performed by ICANN staff. Is this kind of the general path that you guys went down to come up with the findings that you had for the issues report, or did you have a different method for getting that information?
We looked as well. Well, for the registrant agreements and the registrars, I would need to check back with a colleague who did most of that work. But I think he basically just, looked over the registrant agreements and took out there the provisions that were relevant. I don't think we went into that so much detail as well because of the lack of time, basically. And I just want to compliment you indeed on the amount of work you've done. And it seems to be really valuable to have this kind of overview and this kind of listing of all the issues. So I think this goes in much further detail than what we did in the issues report.
Okay, good deal. So in terms of what we have here, are there any other questions or comments about the spreadsheet stuff? Okay, so I'll take silence as a no.
Oh, this is James Berry. Sorry, I was a little slow on the mute button there. Just a general kind of observation. Are we ascribing any meaning to the term uniformity, as in that we think uniformity is always a good thing or often a good thing, or is uniformity a positive thing, or do we want to recognize somehow that uniformity can sometimes run counter to flexibility and discretion? I just... Speaking in the abstract, I guess.
Very, very valid point. I would agree to that. We probably ought to lay that down. But from my anal retentive world, uniformity is golden to me, because the more consistent things are across the marketplace, the more predictable they become. Whether that is the right thing for here or not is probably still a question. So I would have to agree that that's something that we ought to tackle.
This is Mikey. I'd like to chime in on that. James, I think we may have talked a bit about this before you joined the group, but one of the notions that that we talked about was the need to be conscious of not dragging everybody down to the lowest common denominator. And so in whatever conclusions we arrive at, if we are doing anything, we certainly don't want to limit the ability of a registrar to go above and beyond the call of duty and
right.
express something in terms of a floor rather than saying that everything has to be exactly the same, because as you and I have talked about a lot on other working groups, that poses a substantial risk of limiting the ability of certain registrars to go ahead and go above that floor.
Right, right. And I guess what prompted that thought was just that looking at the top five, there are three U.S. firms and one Canadian and one Australian. And of the U.S. firms, there's one Arizona, one, I think, Washington, and another in Virginia. So it just got me to thinking that, you know, depending upon the... where the registrant even lives, perhaps. You know, would a European registrant by this measure be better served by a registrar in their particular nationality that's operating under some common legal framework, or can they shop? Since we're reached talking about global service providers in a global market, I mean, does it make more sense for them to look around and find some favorable... you know, do the bad guys live in one country but always target another registrars of another country? I think that, you know, this is where I'm kind of, I don't have any answers, but I'm just kind of ruminating on the idea of uniformity and how it might apply to a non-uniform customer base or universe of potential customers. So anyway, I just wanted to put that on the table for potential discussion.
That's a good one. I hadn't thought about that. I don't think we're quite at the stage of having that discussion, but it's certainly an interesting puzzler.
Yeah, I this is Barry. I certainly don't. I don't have any direct experience in one way or the other.
You know, Barry, when you're looking for your gaggle of next registrars to take a look at, you might sort of throw a few other regions in.
Yeah, absolutely. The
90-plus
contracts that I pulled already was across every country. So, but, yeah, definitely I'll make sure that across the large, the middle, and the bottom, that I'll try to get slices from other countries where they have English available documentation. Fortunately, I'm not multilingual.
Oh, we'll just run it through Babelfish.
Hey, Barry, this is James, and I had another thought. I'm certainly not trying to overcomplicate this, but I just wanted to point out that when you said if you have time, you might go down to some smaller and smaller registrars, and I just wanted to at least express the opinion that when you get to very small registrars, let's say less than a few thousand domains, you're probably dealing with niche or boutique-oriented service providers that may be, for example, a representative of a large portfolio domain holder, or you could be looking at perhaps an internal IT department that, for whatever reason, maybe not today, but in the past, was able to cost-justify becoming a registrar to serve its own internal needs. You know, there's just a lot of different scenarios that could open up. I think that by sticking with the larger market share registrars, you're dealing with those folks who are targeting retail and resale customers. When you get down to the very, very small, I think that some of the commonality of what might be in those agreements starts to go out the window, and I would not be surprised, I guess, if that's what you came back with. Your data illustrated that.
Okay, I'll take a look at that and be mindful of it. Do you have any recommendations on how I can distinguish between a privateer, so to speak, or a boutique versus a general consumer one?
You know, just shooting from the hip, I think that close or registrar that's not targeting a retail market will not have the create an account and register and name facilities on their web page.
Okay.
Not true in all cases. It's not a silver bullet test, but I think it's a good indication that they are not soliciting customers to register in that way. If they don't necessarily have an externally or publicly available website. I don't know if that's possible. I think the accreditation agreement requires at least, at a minimum, some facilities to be available on a public website. So I don't know that that's even possible. But just throwing out some ideas that would maybe be an indication that that it's a special case and not necessarily a registrar that's selling to the market as a whole.
All right, good deal. I'll definitely look out for that.
Good example, this is Mikey, a good example of that, for example, is Google is a registrar, but I don't think they sell names. They just are a registrar mostly to gain access to facilities. And it would be interesting to explore if you can even find it, their registrar page.
Okay, cool. All right, any other questions or comments about the data collection spreadsheet stuff? Okay, the only other thing that I think we need to talk about now is what are we going to do with this? So by next call, I hope to have the five large, five middle, five bottom. We'll have this summary spreadsheet filled out, so we'll see a bunch of green and then some yellow dots. We'll come up with, you know, some sort of answer of what we think the uniformity or lack of uniformity is. What's our next step? And I guess I kind of lied. It is in reference to the spreadsheet. Is the next step to actually start going through and going line by line with the actual language from these agreements and starting a comparison then? Or do we think that we're going to have enough information that we can start to craft what, you know, some of our recommendations are, not craft what our recommendations should be, but are we going to start entering that next stage of understanding what the actions that are taking place to mitigate abuse out there? Is that really going to be our next step, kind of going back to the survey thing, whether that's the right thing to do or whatever? You know, I think what was, and I'll shut up after this statement, is I think what was very important that was listed in our charter is that, you know, regardless of whether this language is in these contracts or not, for us to get a really good sense of what's going on out there in the industry, you know, we need to gain visibility into what's being done, and is it effective? You know, how are we going to measure the effectiveness on the actions against these abuses? And certainly none of what is in this spreadsheet here or any kind of data that we pull out of that is going to give us that information. So, you know, I think we're buttoned up into the same kind of issue in the PEDNR working group. Is there's this need for visibility as to what's going on out in the marketplace, but yet there's apprehension to kind of get that data, or there's very limited ways to come about getting that type of information. You know, so how do we measure the effectiveness, I guess, is the question I'm posing.
Well, this is Mikey. I think I'd like to use the consultant's answer on this one and say that it depends. And what we probably could do is wait and see what your that was one of the reasons to do this fast pass, was to get a sense as to what the dispersion was, because it seems to me that there's sort of three paths from here. If it turns out there's tremendous uniformity of contracts already, which there may be, that kind of renders our issue moot in a way. because we're really aiming at contract uniformity as a focus for recommendations and leaving aside the effectiveness of the actions against those contracts. If, on the other hand, there's huge dispersion, that, I think, leads us in a different direction. And so it probably wouldn't hurt us a whole lot to wait 2 weeks until we've seen the upshot of your work. This kind of falls in the category of looking for troubles that we may not have, for me.
Right, right. And, Mikey, you mentioned a third avenue?
Well, a third avenue, which is sort of emerging as we talk about these tiers, is we could have huge consistency amongst the larger registrars, and then a spectrum that tails off so that as we head towards the smaller registrars, they get more and more diverse. What would be nice is if it was all one or the other, but what we may wind up with is a spectrum. And that, I think, is sort of a third course, because that may mean a policy or a recommendation response that's nuanced by size. And again, I think it's useful to kind of know whether we've got that puzzler before we try and solve it.
Okay, understood. Short of, I guess we'll move this into the section of open mic or open session. I don't have anything else to discuss other than I've got my actions to continue on with the middle and bottom and complete this out for the next session. Floor's open.
Well, this is Mikey just reiterating, fantastic work. Keep at it. It's lovely. Really like it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? So.
Yeah, same. Got in just under there. Yeah, I just wanted to also say good work, and I'm firmly of the belief that the more choices and information we can get to inform a consumer choice is better for everyone.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Barry.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Tomorrow I'll send out just kind of a summary email to Greg to let him know what we've come up with. I think he did get a copy of what we have so far. And I'll also send out another doodle for our session 2 weeks from now, roughly. So thank you very much, and I'll talk to you guys next week on the call.
Thanks a million, Barry. Great job.
Bye.
All
right, cheers.
Hello.